Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Was Whitey Bulger good for the community? That's what we're debating on this.
I still, Vanessa, go back to a time where, I think it was 2005, it was a Red Sox, I want to say Phillies game, maybe it was a Red Sox Blue Jays game, but my dad and I were going in downtown Boston outside of Fenway Park to go to a game. We're looking to scalp tickets. And this one guy who says he's from Southie just keeps on telling us all these tales about Southie. And at one point he says, you know, Whitey Bulger was actually good for the community. It's like, oh, the gangster who was like murdering people. It's like, well, yeah, but he like kept the drug dealers out.
And yeah, there you go.
I was like, okay, interesting spin zone. I knew nothing about Whitey Bulger at this point in time. This was before The Departed, which is like a sort of a play on
great movie.
Another movie back in the day, but also it was influenced by Whitey Bulger before Black Mass, too.
Fascinating. Love me some gangsta films. All right, so you're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. We're at the 11 o'clock hour. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. Yo. Sean Mapes is behind the glass, as always. And we won't bury the lead here. We know what the big story is yesterday. The New York Times, specifically Jenny Vrintas, who's been all over the Deshaun Watson case, really from the get-go, releasing a new article. It was very nuanced. There was a lot of detail. It's titled, and I would encourage you read the article rather than just read the headline, How the Texans and a Spa Enabled Deshaun Watson's Troubling Behavior. Essentially, 66 women, Watson met at least 66 women for massages over a 17-month period. That's more than was previously known. Vrintas got this verified through Cash App receipts, Instagram direct messages, and whatnot. We've been asking you guys throughout the show, and we'll continue to ask for your take on this article. I outlined this at the beginning of the show, just kind of what stood out to me. 66, obviously a huge number. In 17 months, it's a lot.
How could you be this clumsy if you're Deshaun Watson? Is it because you're an idiot, or is it because you thought that you were never going to get caught? It's probably, if we're looking at like a scale, it would probably be trending towards the latter, that he thought he was never going to get caught. But I can't believe how easy it seems like it was for Vrintas to find all of these things. It just took DMs and
asking women.
Cash App receipts. Like you left receipts. I want to say it was Charles Barkley last year who was making fun of the Jussie Smollett case. He was like, yo, you hired people to beat you up and you paid them with checks? You know? It just is dumb on his part. Especially in the situation that we just found out about, the 24th allegation, which the Browns are surprised by, and Rusty Harden's surprised by, that like anyone should be surprised by anything Watson's alleged to have done going forward. When that comes out, then all of a sudden they're looking at things with like a side eye, as if, oh, wait, now we're not so sure about this guy's character. But I'm just looking at Watson right now and thinking about just how careless the guy was and reckless too, that he was doing this with 66 people over the course of 17 months.
The second thing that stood out to me, I think the word enabling is a stretch. The Texans did apparently, according to Jenny Vrintas, give Deshaun Watson an NDA in November of 2020. This was right after a woman had threatened to out him on some of these things. The NDA to me is not odd. Celebrities, politicians, etc., often make people sign NDAs to come to a house party. So the NDA thing and the Texans' role in this, as well as, quite frankly, the Houstonians' role, if you're the Houstonian has the highest profile people that come through Houston stay there. I highly doubt it's weird for them to be asked to set up some sort of hotel room for a high-profile person.
Probably not, right?
I don't think it's weird.
Strange to us, though. And I think for anyone listening, I understand why you'd be like, this is bizarre.
But to me, I think enabled may be a strong word. That may not be Jenny Vrintas' fault, but
I'll say from this perspective, I mean, the company I used to work at here in town, radio-wise, like they would every now and then for certain people who needed to stay the night and not they couldn't go back to the suburbs maybe because they were working a late shift, like they would give you the option to like book a hotel somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like some companies will book hotels for employees. It's not always going to be the first thing that comes to mind. Oh, he got this hotel room so he could have the sex, you know,
right.
Like that's generally not the first thing that's going to pop into an organization's mind.
There are things that are odd, but it might just not be, it might not be as odd as some folks think. The third thing that stood out to me, we played the Albert Breer audio earlier from the Pat McAfee show where he said that the 23rd lawsuit didn't surprise the Browns, but the 24th was less expected. I just think it's hilarious. And by hilarious, I mean, not funny at all. That the Browns would be surprised by anything. They clearly did not vet this situation properly, or they just most likely didn't care.
Yeah,
that's what stood out to me about
this article.
And now they're going to have to act like they do. And as Chris Carter said, there will be a fall guy. We don't know who the fall guy will be. Could be Stefanski, Andrew Berry. But if Deshaun Watson is suspended for a long period of time, this is going to fall on someone, and it ain't going to be the Haslams.
It's
Paul,
not,
what stood out to you?
It's definitely not Stefanski. It's Barry. It's BS that the Haslams found the way to weasel their way out of it. That stood out to me. Also, what stood out to me was just the way that this investigation was put together. And I think there's a lot of people that have been out there that are still clinging to this idea. Well, since Watson was not criminally charged, this was something where Watson maybe actually should be believed here. There's still a lot of that going on online. I would say most of it's coming out of Cleveland. But what I found out through this report is that Rusty Hardin met with Harris County Assistant District Attorney Jonas Stallings earlier this year. So they met at Hardin's office. Wow. Like they go to his office as opposed to meeting at the district attorney's office. Spoke over the phone 12 times. Exchanged more than 24 text messages in the 2 months before 10 criminal complaints were presented to a pair of grand juries in Texas. Hardin Perventis created a slide presentation arguing for Watson's innocence and gave it to Stallings along with other documents he deemed important. Watson ultimately did not testify before the jury. And on top of that, the grand jury only had one of five victims who were present testify. And Rusty Hardin clearly, in his long time practicing law in Harris County, has, I would imagine, made a ton of friends. And this is standard procedure. Relationships do matter in a court of law. And there are handshake agreements that are done all the time that aren't actually, you know, in court. It does feel, though, in this situation that maybe things weren't looked at as close as they should have been. And Tony Busby was expressing complaints about it. I understand why. I don't know if they would have had a case, you know, the district attorney prosecuting against Deshaun Watson because there's no evidence that could be admissible in court or anything like that. But basically, it does feel like there was a handshake agreement between Hardin and the district, the assistant district attorney. And it's a bad look for the assistant district attorney, whether or not they actually had a chance of winning this. I think that our local government looks pretty bad right now.
Ian Rappaport was on the Pat McAfee show and had this to say about the situation involving Deshaun Watson.
I don't think it's book closed. The way the NFL was viewing it was their investigation was coming to a close. Usually Deshaun Watson is the last, you know, usually the subject is the last person to get interviewed. So that happened. It was either 2 or 3 weeks ago in Houston for several days. The NFL then, you know, obviously we have the two new lawsuits, 23 and 24. The NFL has remained in contact with him because what they do is they basically cross-check the information they have. But the investigation wasn't closed. So, I mean, the NFL has looked into every lawsuit. They've looked into every allegation. They have talked to Deshaun Watson about every allegation and every question they have for him. So that is continuing now. So I don't believe it's over, and I don't believe any decision has been made. But, like, this is why there's no rush to do anything until you really have to, in case something like this comes out and is new, is important, open your eyes to something in case you have to discuss it.
That's huge to me. That's Ian Rappaport after somebody on the Pat McAfee show asked him if the NFL investigation was over, if it was book closed. He said no. And so, to me, look, I mean, what's the difference between 23, 24, 25? Who knows? But you got a new article. You have the Real Sports special on HBO with Bryant Gumbel. There's been more that's come out.
The NFL's been really squirrely, too, when they've been asked about it. They have not been... They have not said anything more than no comment. That they, I think, really right now are thinking long and hard about what they're going to do. They will look bad if they do not give Watson a massive suspension. And I'm not talking 8 games. 8 games isn't going to cut it. There's going to be a lot of calling for blood afterwards. And look, we've seen the NFL change suspensions after ruling suspensions in the past. That would be something else to see. Right now, it seems like everyone was expecting the precedent that, you know, just that we had seen in the past to be an 8-game suspension or something like that. I think a full season is on the table.
I think it's possible, too. Let us know what you think. Of course, we're talking about this all throughout the show, 713-780-ESPN. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we got a little Wine Wednesday segment. Tell us what's on your mind. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, listen up. We're kicking off our second annual summer circuit this Friday, Constellation Field, home of the Sugarland Space Cowboys. The Wheelhouse, our afternoon show, will be broadcasting live. So get your tickets now and join us. Go to slspacecowboys.com.
Constellation Field's awesome, by
the way. It is so cool. It's a great AAA ballpark. All summer long, you're going to be able to register to win our grand prize, a Weber Smokefire EX6 Wood Pellet Grill from Texas Star Grill.
Whoa, what? I want one.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Ladies love a man that can grill. Plus, you can win a family getaway to Lafayette, the heart of Louisiana's Cajun and Creole country.
It's not for me.
The summer circuit broadcast this Friday from the home of the Sugarland Space Cowboys. Should be fun.
Maybe if I shave my beard and come in a mustache, I can win that grill.
Maybe you can. Yeah, look very...
Just between us three right now. No one's listening, I'm sure. Like, why not me? Why can't I have the grill?
Why can't you have the grill?
Yeah.
Can you grill at all? Or do you need to learn? Because this is like, I think, an expert grill. Like, I don't think you start out... I do need to learn.
The last time I used a grill was college, because we had this like little crappy one in college. Well, because I've never lived in a place where I could store the grill. Like, in fact, my new place, like, I have a balcony, so I guess I could. But I'm also nervous because I remember one time my dad was cooking on the grill on his balcony, and he left the thing on too long, and there were, like, massive flames that came up, and I think it scorched, like, the walls of this fancy apartment complex.
No, I don't. But I would be willing to learn if I get set up with the Weber Smokefire EX6.
So, all right,
call it trial by fire.
You got to go out to Constellation Field on Friday, then.
Yeah, Constellation Field is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Really good.
And you can see some like prospects, Astros prospects.
The grill.
And the grill.
It's all about the grill. free stuff.
We've been talking a lot about the Deshaun Watson situation, and we have had some interesting input from our folks on the text line. 6602 says, this is going to be a lifetime movie, and it's going to change the NFL and how players interact with other people. While it might not become a lifetime movie, the latter part I think is correct. It's going to change the NFL, possibly, and how players interact with other people. Look, there's a lot of players that are standing up for Deshaun Watson. Whether or not you agree with him, I have seen plenty of his, Charles Omenihu, former teammates. Yes, sir, Brody. Yes, sir. Every time Deshaun posts something, because they believe him. They don't think he did anything wrong. Will this possibly change the way that athletes interact with other people and the public? You certainly would hope so. And not in the sense...
Yeah, hopefully they stop.
They stop. Right.
Don't
be reckless. I mean... This is a lot. This is a pattern, and this is the most that we've seen any athlete get accused of, really, of anything.
How about stop assuming everything is sexual? Is that so hard?
What do you mean?
That's
women want you?
Yeah, I would say this to athletes. Like, I'm sorry, like, not everyone wants to have sex with you,
right?
And I think in the mind of Deshaun Watson, that is something that was true. And like, I'm not just talking about this stuff. Like, I know people that he has slid in of the DMs of and stuff. So this is not, you know, it wasn't for massages. This guy, I think, is just incredibly horny. I mean, shoot. Well, he had Mia Khalifa over once to play basketball.
Right.
Like, they posted
video
online. Like, the guy, and look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that necessarily, but, like, there's a certain point where you have to realize, like, not everyone wants to bang you. And like, if you think that in life, like you're kind of a sociopath, if that, especially if you feel like you can keep getting away with it and doing the things that he was doing. And, you know, it's, I went back and I read the original report. Like, this guy forgot that one of the people who was alleging that he was improper, like, he kept on forgetting that he had the massage with her, and multiple times after massaging her at first, texted her as in DMs as if he had never, like, talked to her before. And she actually sent him back the screen grabs, and then he would, like, oh, yeah, I didn't want anything more. And then he would come back, and after not booking an appointment, do the same thing again.
There's something going on here, for sure, fetish-wise or just sexual preference-wise. People don't believe me when I say that it wasn't about the sex. You don't have to dig too deep to realize that this was a power thing, even if it was consensual. Even if you think all the women are lying, I'm not saying I think that, but if you think that, the fact that he could walk in any bar or restaurant in Houston and pick up multiple women at one time, yet he chose this route, means that there was definitely something going on with his mindset and what he preferred.
Yeah.
The NFL will decide how inappropriate it was. The NFL will decide in their eyes what they think that the punishment should be. Ian Rappaport was on Pat McAfee yesterday and said that he does not think the NFL investigation has wrapped up yet. So according to Rappaport, who works for NFL media and has a pretty good inside scoop, they haven't made their choice yet. So time will tell.
What, are they just going to wait? And be like, oh, well, 25th is going to come at some point. I mean, probably will, by the way.
Will it make a difference, the number of lawsuits?
I wonder if it makes a difference in that if they already talked to him and he lied to them about the amount of accused, since he lied to the Browns and maybe lied to Rusty Harden. It's not a stretch. They lied to Roger Goodell,
right,
too. That would be so NFL, where that's where the most of the punishment comes
what?
From.
You lied to the redheaded hammer? How dare you?
It's what got Jim Tressel in Ohio State.
It's true.
It's not any of the tattoos or anything. Is that he lied about it?
It's what Brady got in the most trouble for. He didn't give his phone over to the NFL, even though,
well, I
like,
mean, he had something to hide.
100%.
Yeah,
like
he had like text messages that were like saying Peyton Manning isn't as good as him to hide. You know, which is factually accurate.
This just in from Jeremy Fowler about 3 minutes ago of ESPN. The Browns and Baker Mayfield have decided that he will be excused from minicamp next week, per sources. So Baker Mayfield will not show up and he will not be fined. This is the Jimmy Garoppolo approach rather than the DK Metcalf approach. DK Metcalf will be fined, most likely, and was not excused. Jimmy Garoppolo was excused, and it appears, per Jeremy Fowler, that Baker Mayfield will be excused as well.
Save us, Baker Mayfield! Our quarterback's a serial predator! And probably isn't going to play this year!
I think that they've decided...
Is that Grover?
I don't know.
Sesame Street?
Working on that voice, yes.
It is time for a little segment that we call Wine Wednesday.
It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine, 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 wine.
Paul, what's annoying you today?
Look, I realize that on the list of jobs for a bartender, that knowing what's on television is very low on the priorities. You're thinking about your orders. You're thinking about the food, but I think it's inexcusable whenever you go to a place that bills itself as a sports bar and the big game of the night isn't on. I'm not going to name any names here because
sure.
I get it. It can be overwhelming at times, but you can't call yourself a sports bar and have, instead of, I don't know, an NBA Finals game or an NHL playoffs game or the Astros game, you can't have, like, professional bull riding or, something that's not significant, that's not one of the big three.
I actually disagree with you. You said that it's not the bartender's, it's not a big part of the bartender's job to man the TV. I say at a sports job, it is kind of part of their job.
So they should be on top of it. Okay, well,
yes. At least have, like, a little cheat sheet of, like, just have some idea of what channel the big game that night's going to be, especially if it's the finals.
That is my wine then. We have to find a way to make this more of a priority, because you'll ask, hey, can you change it? Because the one place I was at on television, they had like the ESPN sidebar broadcast of the NBA finals, which was annoying because they had this giant bottom left picture of like three guys sitting on a couch, and you couldn't, with the TVs that were on, you couldn't see the game. So technically, the game was on, but it wasn't actually on. And I asked, like, hey, can you change it very politely? And they did change it, but it took them like 15 minutes to change it and stuff. And I was just like, hey, like, you know, it's on ABC. It shouldn't be that hard. So that's my whine. It feels like this is not exclusive to just one sports bar. It feels like regularly you will go to a place and the televisions are not on the correct channels that they need to be.
My whine is that you get charged extra for add-ons for food, but they don't subtract if you want something taken off. So if I want to add salmon, obviously they're going to charge me $7 or $8 at a bar for a salad. Again, not going to name the establishment. But when I want to take off the onions and take off the cheese, because I don't need to be having
credit.
The run, I want money taken off.
What's onions, though? The cheese,
it
I understand.
I'm with Vanessa. It makes sense.
Okay, so charge me an extra $7 for the salmon, but then take off $2 for the cheese and the onions. That's all.
$2? That's what you think the value is?
Yes. Okay, because if the whole salad is $15 before, and then you add salmon.
But is it grated cheese?
And then you take off. No, it's feta.
It's feta, okay.
And it's onions. So just look, I'm just...
Onions are cheap. I'm sorry.
The onions, it's like 10 cents.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I want that 7 cent discount.
Take off a dollar. But it's about integrity. You're charging me more for something.
7 cents more.
But honesty is what it is.
It's about honesty. It's about values. It's about the fact that I'm putting less food. The chef is putting less food on my plate, so I should be charged less.
That's how they do in the Midwest.
Yeah, exactly. No, it really is, though. It's honesty. It's the value of a dollar. If I'm getting charged more for something when I add it on, I should be charged less when it is subtracted. Sean Mapes, what is your
I
Wine
agree with
Wednesday?
You
thank you.
That.
The absolutely preposterous NBA Finals schedule that we have.
I know!
It's absolutely preposterous.
I every thought night, the game was on last night. I turned on, I was like, oh, my bad.
Every night, I have like 10 minutes at 7 o'clock where I'm like, are the finals tonight or is it not for another 3 days? I have no idea.
Why so much rest?
It's insane, especially after the Eastern and Western Conference Finals where they went every other day. So they're just... I mean, Kyle Lowry was going to throw up in the first quarter every game. And now we have a week off between. I mean, it's insane.
I feel like the worst Celtics fans were not figuring it out. Oh, we have a wine. This is from.
We do have a wine. Hey, Eric?
ABC Eric.
What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Hey, how are you?
Do you have a wine?
I'm doing great. Yeah, look, I want to whine about Chipotle. Here's my thing. If I go to Chipotle and I get a burrito bowl and I say I want double chicken. Bro, do not limp wrist me when it goes to give me my double chicken.
Right.
This dude limp wristed me twice yesterday. You charged me extra $3. Now I get home, I'm looking at this bowl all sad because I ain't got the chicken that I wanted. There ain't nobody. I can't contact nobody at Chipotle because, you know, they ain't trying to hear it.
Yeah,
so
they don't care.
Chipotle, let me get some dudes in there with some tight wrists. They need to do some wrist curls or something.
Hell yeah.
Put my double chicken on there.
Double chicken, Eric. That's a good Wine Wednesday, and I agree.
I'm surprised, Vanessa, that you're not standing up for an authentic Mexican establishment like Chipotle.
No, if you want Chipotle, you better go get Chipotle.
Also, for ABC Eric, this is something Jake Asman of the Wheelhouse taught me a while back, is you say you want chicken, they put the thing on, and then you say, actually make it double chicken. So, because subconsciously, when you say double, they limp wrist you,
yes,
like Eric, ABC
yes,
Eric
do.
Was saying. So you get the full wrist with when you say chicken, and then afterwards you go,
you know
give
what?
Me double.
Double chicken.
I have a counterpoint here, though.
Incredibly smart, Sean.
Jake Asman. You can see them put it together. Ask for more.
But then you might be getting charged for triple chicken.
No, just say like this isn't this. That, say that's you have to just put on your big boy pants or your big lady pants in this situation and say, hey, that's not authentic.
I just have trouble at Chipotle putting on my big lady pants.
What are they gonna do? What are they gonna do? They're gonna spin it though. Like they can't do anything to your food. Like that was always my big reservation with being a jerk when I'm out to eat. But like in this situation, no, I'm not saying be a jerk. Be stern. Don't be a Ken. Don't be a Karen.
I think Jake Asman has it right. I think you psychologically mess with them and you hit them with that. You know what?
Yeah, no, it is a Chipotle veteran move.
Don't go to Chipotle.
All right, Eric, we like that wine. All right, coming up, we're gonna talk about a manager that went bye-bye plus an unexcused absence from OTAs for one of the superstars in the league. But first,
let me tell you about my friends at the Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net. Look, we're all looking to make money in some way, shape, or form. And real estate, these days, it seems like the easiest way to go about doing it. My friends over at the Passive Investor Network, they're going to get you a five-year plan personalized for you. You probably think to yourself, Paul, first off, this sounds like some sort of Ponzi scheme. Second off, I don't have the money for this right now. Oh, that's why you meet with them. They're going to have a bus tour on June 18th, and they take you around town, and they show you the kind of areas that they will see around town that they look and they feel like has the ability to be turned into something completely different. And we've seen how much Houston's transformed over the years. Like the Heights right now, I mean, wasn't that all warehouses back in the day? Wasn't the same thing with Washington back in the day? Things change. So they're going to help you find real wealth through real estate. The bus tour, again, it's on June 18th. Promo code ESPN. Again, promo code ESPN to join on it. It's a good time. You get food. And then they explain the whole process to you. The PIN process, passiveinvestor.net. Promo code ESPN. That's passiveinvestor.net.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Wednesday. The Angels have lost 13th straight, and that led to the dismissal of Joe Maddon, a man that once brought Chicago a lot of joy, and people assumed that he'd be able to work magic with that roster he has, but they have lost 13th straight. And he's been relieved of his duties. He said he was surprised by it. I was a little surprised by the timing of it, but 13 in a row when you have that roster, you got to go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have so many guys with incredible wins above replacement. So how are you losing games when you have that much positive war? The analytics people, tell me that. Explain that to me. And yeah, you know, you saw yesterday in that game, which they lost, Mike Trout. Ooh, I hit a home run. I'm the best player in baseball. Ooh, I hit a double. Leaves the game with a groin injury. Can you be the MVP if you're always hurt? I don't know. Mike Trout, most overrated player in professional sports history.
You also say most
boring. Well, yeah, I mean, we know that for sure. But is Mike Trout actually good? I don't know. You know, like if you're good, like don't get hurt. Right.
There's a Houston sports superfan on Twitter, Space Lawyer, and he had a funny tweet. Hate to see Angels manager Joe Maddon go because he has helped the Astros so much during his tenure. And he has. But bye-bye, Joe Maddon. Certainly, we'll see who they get in there.
Bring back Mike Socha.
Who they'll hire.
Where the hell is he now? Mike Socha, who I feel like
Professor
must be 100
Mapes?
Years old.
Professor Mapes? Do we know where
this
man
Professor
is?
Yeah, Professor Mapes.
Is he on MLB TV or something?
Mike Scorsese.
That seems like something he would do, is just be on TV.
Yeah, maybe some media stuff.
Him and Buck Showalter just flip between having jobs and being on MLB Network.
Yeah. You need, listen, when things aren't going so well and you have your hipster manager with his glasses, ooh, look at me, I'm Joe Maddon, I'm a hipster.
All right, let's chill out on the
glasses. Well, okay, well, you got to go back to Fire and Brimstone. Like, find someone like Tony La Russa who has a couple of DUIs on his record. You know, sometimes you need that criminal element as a manager.
What baseball teams tend to do is they rotate between, like, a player's coach and a hardo, right? So you have, like, them bring in somebody who's a player's manager who gets along with the players, and then they bring in somebody hard-nosed. The Texans actually have done it, right? They did Gary Kubiak, then they went with Bill O'Brien, then they hired somebody really nice, and then they hired somebody lovey, which I wouldn't say he's a hard-o, but he's more along the lines of, you're going to do what I say, this ain't my first rodeo.
I want someone to come in, Vanessa, like a non-player's coach to baseball, because I don't think they could handle it. Someone like the guy in Full Metal Jacket. You know, just to come in and just absolutely light them up. Oh, you just struck out? Give me 10 burpees right now on your way back into the dugout, you disrespectful to the game of baseball loser. I don't want you on my team, but I'm stuck with you because of this contract. So do your burpees right now. That would be hilarious, especially if Mike Trout had to do it.
DK Metcalf was not present at minicamp for the Seahawks. This was not an excused absence. So, like, the 49ers excused Jimmy Garoppolo. We just saw Jeremy Fowler say that the Browns will excuse Baker Mayfield. DK Metcalf not excused, which leads me to the question that if he doesn't want to be there, should the Seahawks look at maybe trading him and just ripping it all up since they're no longer with Bobby Wagner, no longer with Russell Wilson. Legion of Boom is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
Should they just start from the bottom?
Well, if you're tanking, yeah.
They seem
to think they're contenders, Vanessa. I don't get it. Like, Drew Locke is terrible, and Geno Smith is also terrible. And also, I can't believe that they decided to bring Geno Smith back, given that he had his whole DUI thing this offseason where he basically acted like he was above the law. And that's just totally gone by the wayside. Like, he acted like a total jackass in that actual arrest that took place. I think he, like, threatened that he was going to beat them up. Do you know who I am? All this other stuff. That's their quarterback competition. You may as well, and especially when the Seahawks are in this weird situation where the ownership group that owns the Blazers is also the Seahawks ownership group. It does seem like the Allens are trying to get out. And if you want to, you know, drive your price down a little bit, make it a little bit more manageable, sort of like when Drayden McClain sold the Astros to Jim Crane, you know, like, I don't know, maybe strip down a little more, but you don't find guys like this very often, even if there are some things in his game he could be a little bit better at.
If he misses 3 days of minicamp, this is per Pro Football Talk, he would total at about $93,000 worth of fines. So if I'm DK Metcalf, I'm finding my way to minicamp very soon.
I would probably too, but I don't know. I mean, you just saw what these other wide receivers were able to do. Is it so different leverage-wise because those guys were not on their rookie contracts anymore in the case of Tyreek Hill, in the case of Davante Adams? Because Davante Adams just wanted to go to Vegas, and Tyreek Hill wanted to get paid. They got their way. It seems with A.J. Brown, I mean, in a similar situation, second-round draft pick who was still on his rookie contract, he was able to find his way out of Tennessee and get to Philadelphia. Now, part of that has to do with Tennessee being a cheap organization that's trying to, you know, foist a new stadium that's been, you know, only like 20-something years old on its taxpayers. But that's, you know, that's the Adams way. I think that he definitely could, if he really wants to, force another trade. I mean, Russell Wilson forced his way out of town. It seems like the Seahawks aren't really content dealing with the non-content
anymore.
Yeah,
in the past, the Seahawks have said that they're confident that they're going to get a deal done with DK Metcalf, but this certainly calls that into question. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we wrap up a Wednesday with a little bit of garbage time. That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report, presented by Texas Citizens Bank.
I'm Frank Miller for Ron and Sana. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the U.S. isn't the only country experiencing inflation and that the war in Ukraine is impacting energy and food prices across the world. Speaking in Washington yesterday, Yellen said that it's impossible for the U.S. not to be impacted by the global oil markets and that it was vital for the U.S. to become more dependent on other forms of energy, such as solar and wind power, that can't be touched by geopolitical influences. She also added that without President Biden's release of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, gas prices would actually be much higher. Now, her statements come as gas prices approach $5 a gallon nationwide and as oil sits at around $120 a barrel. The average price for a gallon of regular gas is around $4.95 a gallon. 16 states are averaging over $5 a gallon, led by California, where gas is $6.39 a gallon. Some experts say that while the Ukraine conflict is indeed a factor, the state of oil refineries in the U.S. is partially to blame as well.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report was presented by Texas Citizens Bank, the official bank of ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, with the SEC coming together the way it is, a lot of UT fans and Aggie fans are excited for a renewed rivalry between these two colleges that don't really like each other. Our resident UT fan and alum, Sean Mapes, is here to tell us about some possible conference issues that have come out as far as scheduling goes.
Yes, so they're at the Destin, Florida SEC spring meetings in June, which is also insane that they had their spring meetings in June. There's two tables. So with the SEC adding Oklahoma and Texas, they're going to go to 16 teams. Now, obviously, and how they do the divisions doesn't work with an eight-game schedule with 16 teams, because then you would only play one team out of your conference or out of your division every year. So they have two different scheduling models. One, there's an eight-game model where you have one protected rivalry, so one team that you play every year in the model. So that would most likely be Texas and Oklahoma, because ABC pays money for the Texas-Oklahoma game. They don't want
to
get that.
Right, okay.
And they already don't have Texas-Texas A&M, so they're not losing money by not having that. But that runs into a whole bunch of other issues as far as Auburn, because Auburn wants to play both Alabama every year, obviously, and Georgia every year. Georgia wants to play Auburn and Florida every year. So most SEC teams have two or three rivals. I mean, or they have none, and they have three that they all kind of hate equally.
Right.
So what's probably going to happen is a nine-game SEC schedule with three protected rivalries for each team. So that way, for the example of Texas, they get to play Oklahoma, A&M, and Arkansas,
every year.
LSU, whoever, every year.
People are going to get so mad with a nine-game SEC schedule when a three-loss SEC team makes it into the college football playoff. And you know what? I'm all here for it, because it's so funny to watch everyone clutch their pearls about the SEC. I loved it on the West Coast. Like, everyone was so mad about how the Pac-12's become irrelevant, so they just lash out at some of the other conferences. And I was just like, especially UW fans, Washington fans, like the most delusional fan base that thinks that they're going to like get back to what they used to be because they made it to the college football playoff before.
Once.
Yeah, and they're still think like, yeah, well, we had a chance there. And I remember they got very mad. Like, one day I came on the air and I was like, well, you guys didn't deserve to make it. Like, Lamar Jackson and a three-loss Louisville team belonged in it more than you, because you guys were nothing. You were nobodies. You were boring. They got very mad. I wonder why things didn't work out for me in Seattle.
Yeah. No.
But anyway, look, you got to make this happen. It would be such... I'm pissed. I moved here in 2011. The last game I saw between Texas and Texas A&M was legitimately right after I moved here, not thinking it would never happen again. I knew, you know, that A&M was leaving for the SEC. I still thought that they would find a way to play each other. Now, they've both been giant wusses about it. Like, oh, it's their fault. Oh, it's their fault.
The posturing is always hilarious. And also every time, this was such big news in Austin when I went to school there. Every time there was some sort of like, pulling one of the student bodies, we're like, you know, 98% of Texas A&M fans want the rivalry renewed. You know, 96% of Texas fans want. Why can't this work out? It's like, we all know the reason. Like, the students have no power in this.
Right.
It's all the ADs being like, well, you know, our out-of-conference schedules, it's already full and it's airtight. And now after COVID, we realize, like, you could just change that, like, within 6 months.
Literally within a day, yeah.
And by the way, I mean, they're losing money by scheduling, like, hey, let's skull bleep this school, like this little tiny directional school for, like, for the poor, or like for the one-eyed or something like that. Nothing against our one-eyed brethren out there, but, you know, they'll pay these schools money so that they can publicly execute them for, like, homecoming. And I mean, wouldn't you make a ton more money with ticket sales if you were to have a game between Texas and Texas A&M? I don't know.
But then you run into the thing of where, because normally, as most teams do this, where they schedule one, like, pretty easy. I mean, Texas always plays Rice or UTEP or something.
Yeah.
And then they play one power conference, kind of more marquee game, where this year Texas is playing Alabama, which is an awful idea. And then they schedule some other team that's, like, decent but shouldn't really have to sweat it that much.
Right.
And so what you don't want to do is have two hard games where now you might be 1-2 heading into conference play.
Here's the thing, though. Like, some of these schools just have to accept that they're not going to be what they were every single year. So you may as well make money in the years where you're not going to be that team. I'm sure Texas will have a great year in the – foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Before I'm dead.
In the 2030s. Yeah.
Yeah. At some point.
Try telling the alumni that and the donors.
But they're crazy if they think otherwise. Like, it's the same thing. Like, Michigan.
Steve Sarkisian is going to save them.
That, like,
That sentence.
See, they think they're going to get back, rich. And they hired like an ex, my bad, a drunk. You're never an ex-drunk.
Yes, good. He's recovered.
You're never
yes,
recovered.
My favorite thing is the, I mean, it's constant every day. But my favorite thing was when he got hired, the Texas fans being like, well, look at Alabama's with Najee Harris, Mac Jones, and who was Devontae Smith. I was like, yeah, of course they had a good offense.
Yeah,
they
it's
had
like
those three guys.
Giving credit to Bill O'Brien for their offense now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, it is time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This first story blew my mind. I love George of the Jungle. I think it's a great movie. And
you also think PETA is fake.
I do think PETA is fake. I think that PETA was created partially by meat companies to make vegans and vegetarians look insane back in the 70s, 80s, whenever it was created. And in some ways, it's worked. But there is an ongoing battle between a woman named Tanya Haddix. So her chimp, her pet chimp, Tonka, was an elderly ape who starred in George of the Jungle back in 1997. It was the chimp that was alongside Alan Cumming. So according to Tanya Haddix, that chimp had recently suffered a stroke and died from heart failure. R.I.P. to Tonka. Except, no. This week, Tonka was found alive, secretly hidden away for the past year in Haddix's Sunrise Beach, Missouri home, where it's apparently it's a guy at a 60-inch TV, an interactive iPad-like touch device, and had celebrated St. Patrick's Day among a few of Haddix's close. So Tonka's alive and well, but apparently PETA was going after Tonka to get Tonka, and so this Haddix person, faked the death of the ape.
So PETA is real, though, because PETA was coming for the ape.
PETA.
Why would he fake the death if PETA was?
No, okay,
no, PETA's so real.
Yes, you're misunderstanding.
Yeah.
PETA, the organization, is very real.
Yeah.
They have real office buildings, real people
real
walk
brick and mortar.
It. Yes.
But it was started by meat companies to make,
It is a bad PR.
Right.
Part of their job is to be a bad PR machine for vegans and vegetarians. In order to keep that up, you have to sometimes investigate a couple dead
monkeys. Well, there are people that work for PETA that probably honestly believe in the values of PETA.
Yes,
I'm sure
they're getting the wool pulled over their eyes.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they should use synthetic wool, not actual
wool. I see what you did there. But yeah, all of the ads of celebrities wearing like the fake fur and support. Come on. It successfully made vegetarians and vegans look weird. Thank you, Tyson Chicken.
Well, no one's eating any monkeys, right? Like, that's where the diseases come from.
Yeah.
Yes, that is where the diseases come from. But, you know, you got to... Why can't this ape make an honest living?
Yeah! Leave the ape
alone. Is it illegal for an ape to work?
No, I think the ape should be allowed to work. We live in a capitalist society.
Yeah, what's PETA doing?
Yeah.
I'm on Team Tonka here.
Yeah.
Though it sounded like he had a pretty sweet life.
I was going to say, the iPad is celebrating St. Patrick's Day.
Imagine being a monkey living, like, in hiding.
He probably gets to drink alcohol. Yeah, like, he probably gets offered drinks every single day. He's just absolutely caked.
JJ Redick.
2 p.m. in the afternoon.
And CJ McCollum just absolutely put Stephen A. in a body bag.
Ooh.
On ESPN.
A body bag.
Which Kevin Durant quoted and said, Stephen A. can't beat up on Max Kellerman, the boxing guy, and the new baseball guy, Mad Dog, or whatever his name is. I'm locked in now. Kevin Durant calling Mad Dog a radio legend, the new baseball guy, is my favorite thing on the internet.
Well, he is. That's all he knows is baseball. He's the baseball guy from MLB.TV.
Also, I kind of agree with Kevin Durant, where, like, I know who Mad Dog is because of my specific career. If I did not know,
seriously,
just was a guy just working 9 to 5 somewhere, I would not know who the guy who invented sports talk radio was in New York. There's no reason for me to know this guy.
He's a louder, shriller me, you know? It's me, Mad Dog here.
He invented something worth a couple billy.
Stephen A. Smith, this is outrageous. This is outrageous. The NBA Finals. It's not baseball. Why? I don't get it.
What's funny is to hear radio veterans talk about him like he's just on this pedestal.
No, it all goes back to these people in New York, Vanessa. Everyone thinks stuff from New York is the greatest thing ever. And because the Mike and the Mad Dog show took place in New York. Oh, it was transcendental. Like, one of the guys is, like, falling asleep on the air while drinking Diet Cokes and showing no energy over the course of his show.
They had a 30 for 30 made out of that.
Outrageous. But
it's
again,
insane.
No, this is New York. New York runs the bleeping United States of America.
Did you ever see the 30 for 30 on Pardon My Take?
There should
be one.
No,
they made one about Pardon My Take. Or you mean Pardon the Interruption?
Pardon the Interruption, PTI.
See, I wouldn't watch that one.
I thought it was actually good.
Well, they made a 30 for 30 about Pardon the Interruption?
At least that one makes sense because it's like an ESPN property.
Because it started a format.
At least they're kind of, you know, they're gratifying themselves. Yes, instead of like gratifying WFAN.
Right.
I want to hear more Michael Wilbon and his sanctimony, please.
There was a protest at a WNBA game. A topless woman, pro-choice protesters, ran onto the court at the WNBA game in Brooklyn. It was a group of them between the New York Liberty and the Minnesota Lynx at Barclays Center.
They had green over their boobs.
So another Minnesota basketball game gets interrupted for protesters?
By the way, a similar group did it at the Lakewood Church, I guess, on Sunday. This happened at a Joel Osteen. I mean, I'll go to Joel Osteen if there's the possibility
women.
Of streakers. No, not because of that. Just the possibility of streakers. That seems like it's a crazy wrinkle. I would never expect streakers in church.
So you may get a streaker, and you may find mysterious money in the bathroom if you go to Joel Osteen.
I have no comment
church.
On the matter.
That's the
no comment.
That's the lesson there. All right, coming up next on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
We have to lock up. There was a hurricane.
Jeremy Branham, Joel Blank with you, the Killer Bees from 12 to 3. Thanks, guys.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.